This is Stephen Strang. Before my podcast, I want to give my listeners a special offer of getting 2 years of Charisma Magazine for only $20. This is better than two for one. I hope you want Charisma in your home, where you can read it, where you can share, where you can keep it around the house and sometimes look at an article later. You know, with everything that's happening with digital, we have found that people still want Charisma in print. And I've been sharing this in my last few podcasts, and it's interesting that the subscriptions are coming in, and I hope that you'll take advantage of this offer by going to charismamag.com/2, T-W-O. That means 2 years for the price of one for only $20. And now here's my podcast.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
There's a lot of speculation about the end time, about the Antichrist, and all of these things. Even though the secular society barely is aware of this, other maybe than to ridicule religious people who believe it, many Christians are interested in this, but the fascinating thing is that Judaism and Islam also have theories about the end time. Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. And today we're going to delve into this by talking to Mark Biltz, who is the author of a new book called Decoding the Antichrist in the End Times. The subtitle is What the Bible Says and What the Future Holds. Now, full disclosure, I'm the publisher of this book. I'm proud of it. It's actually coming out on March 5th, and I think that after you listen to our podcast, you're going to want to get this book. So here is my podcast with author and minister Mark Biltz. Mark Biltz, you're the founder of El Shaddai Ministries. You're well known for writing about blood moons, and now you have written about decoding the Antichrist and the end times. So why did you write this book?
Wow, thank you, Steve. The main reason I wrote this book, Decoding the Antichrist in the End Times, was because for the last 2,000 years, people have been trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. But to me, I felt it was more important to profile the Antichrist, to try to figure out how he operates, what his modus operandi is, and to recognize an Antichrist system that is working among us right now, today.
You know, you're right about people trying to identify the Antichrist. Most of the dictators, I remember Mussolini, which is actually before my lifetime, people were sure he was the one. I've even heard people saying that it's going to be someone out of Islam. I've heard people say that it's going to be someone out of the gay community. Movies have been made about it, books have been written. But what does the Bible say about who the Antichrist is, or maybe the spirit of Antichrist, which is really, in a way, is with us all the time, isn't it?
Most definitely. I call it legalized lawlessness. And it goes back to the book of Esther with Haman. Haman wanted to destroy the nation of Israel, and he felt like all we need to do was to create a law to justify genocide, and then we're okay. He made all kinds of ridiculous laws trying to justify what they do. It's just like with New York abortion law. If we just make it a law, it's okay. If we just legalize gay marriage, if we just legalize drugs, if we just legalize the illegals, then everything is fine. And so to me, the Antichrist spirit is a system where we try to legalize moral lawlessness, thinking that justifies it. And you were saying how some people think the Antichrist will be Islamic, some will think it'll be Jewish. I've always thought it was fascinating, Steve, that of the three monotheistic faiths, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, each one of them has an anti-Messiah, and they all believe the other one's Messiah is their Antichrist.
That's interesting. In fact, the book explores the Islamic and Jewish views of the end times, which for the average Christian, is something they really don't understand.
Not at all. And like in Islam, they have Jesus returning, but there's two different Jesus, a fake Jesus and a real Jesus. Now, the way they tell the Muslims to tell the fake Jesus from the real Jesus is the fake Jesus, he loves the Jewish people. The real Jesus will hate the Jewish people. They have the Dajjal, that's their antichrist, so to speak, that comes. And they talk about the real Jesus, he lands not on the Mount of Olives, but he lands in Damascus. And they have a beast that rises up out of the earth, just like Christianity. And then, of course, in Judaism, they have two messiahs that come, a messiah that's a suffering servant and then a messiah who's a conquering king. They have two witnesses, like a Moses and Elijah. And then, of course, Christianity, you know, has the two witnesses and the false prophet and the antichrist and two beasts, one coming from the earth and one from the water. And it's like, is there going to be a dozen of different scenarios here all playing out at once or what?
What stands out to you in the Jewish perspective of the end times? You mentioned a couple of things, but for the average listener, what are the one or two things that they really need to understand?
From the Jewish eschatological point of view, I think that from their view, they are looking for a Messiah that is going to be a military leader. They're looking for a Messiah that's going to gather the outcasts of Israel. They're looking for one that's going to rebuild the temple. And all these are biblically based, that the real Messiah is going to bring back the sacrificial system. They're going to reestablish the feast of the Lord. And so in the Jewish mindset, the reason they think that Jesus couldn't be their Messiah, they don't mind thinking he's the Christian Messiah. They can have him. But they say he couldn't be the Jewish Messiah because he didn't fulfill the biblical criteria. The temple was destroyed. The Jews were scattered. And so they're looking for someone who is going to, you know, accomplish things in their mind that their Messiah would do.
You know, a lot of Christians are very nonchalant about the end times, thinking that it's not going to apply to them, that it'll be off in the future. Nobody really understands it. But my observation as a Christian journalist, you know, over the last four decades, is that with things escalating as they are in our world, with lawlessness, as you say, and some of the other trends, you almost have to think that, you know, everything is culminating. And one thing that was in the news just in the last week was about the Pope meeting with the leader of Islam really for the first time. And I saw one headline that said that they were agreeing to something that was going to set up one world government. Now, you know, this could be extremism and hyperbole and everything else, but just talk to me about some of the trends, especially as it relates to globalism, which has been in the news, especially since Trump has been in and kind of come against some of the trends toward globalism.
Right. I really think this last election wasn't Democrat versus Republican. I believe it was globalism versus nationalism. You know, I believe that that really was where it was at. And when you look at the trends, all three faiths, Islam is expecting their Mahdi or Messiah to come at any moment. Many Christians believe the Messiah is coming at any moment. And Judaism, the Jews believe their Messiah could come at any moment. So we see this culmination of all three faiths. We see the It's like a trifecta. We also see all the technology that is now available that could implement this one world order, globalism. And then we also have the political will, where you see Russia, China, and Iran, Syria, Israel, the political climate with this globalism. All three of these are coming together at the same time.
And what about something you deal with in the book about artificial intelligence? You know, we're just now beginning to understand how much artificial intelligence is going to affect our lives with Siri and Alexa and all this kind of stuff. I mean, but that's just baby steps into, you know, what's probably going to happen in the future. Where does this fit in your opinion?
I think it is huge. We are under so much surveillance. Like Columbus, when he supposedly discovered America and conquered the natives and declared it for Spain and the Pope, you know, Google and Facebook with the World Wide Web have declared it as their own, and they've taken everyone's digital profile and declared it as their own. Our facial recognition, I mean, they've taken our pictures off Facebook and declared it as their personal property. It's amazing how we're under surveillance, and I'm not talking about a conspiracy theory here. I'm talking about they can track us through our phones, and even the DNA. Did you know that a recent article these DNA websites where they try to find out if you're Jewish or where you're from, Ancestry, you know, .com and all that, they literally have turned the DNA over to the government. If the government has DNA of a criminal suspect, they run it through these companies' DNA register to try to narrow down the family tree of where the suspect is. There really is no privacy anymore.
Well, in the example you just mentioned, you know, we're glad that criminals are captured, but really the scary thing is that what can help us, you know, like Alexa ordering something for us easily, also means that they can eavesdrop on us in a way that never happened before. And, you know, it makes you understand how an antichrist could actually take over, especially since so much of this technology spans national borders and is beyond the control of literal governments.
Right, exactly. But like with the DNA thing I'm talking about, they can also find out who's Jewish, and they can eliminate the Jewish people that way. Everything can be used for bad. But like you said also, a Nest camera someone had in their little nursery for their kid, and the dad goes in, and he hears this boy speaking all these vulgar things and yells at him. I mean, it's like these things can be hacked. And I have a Fitbit that monitors my blood pressure, my heartbeat, the hours I sleep. And of course, it can be, it is monitored. I mean, people can know when I go to bed, when I get up. This new Ring doorbell camera that's just to protect people from someone coming to their door, but it shoots across the street. You can see the police can use the neighbor's Ring camera to see who's coming into your house, when you come, when you go, but it can also be hacked. So someone could easily rob your house because they know when you sleep, they know when you get up, they know when you leave the home and when you come home.
Well, you know, the secular media covers some of this in terms of privacy, even with the thing with Jeff Bezos, you know, that's been in the news the last few days.
And yeah.
I heard a commentator talking about all the stuff that Amazon does with the government in terms of facial recognition. And
right.
And they were just talking about how dangerous Amazon was. Now, Amazon sells a lot of our books, and my wife and I order a lot of stuff that shows up on our doorstep.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a good part of it. Even with the GPSs, traveling is so much easier now than it used to be. But I was shocked when I checked the house where my 90-year-old mother lived until recently, and there she was getting into her car. So the Google machine that photographs, you know, all the streets, actually was going, while she was getting in her car, was taking a picture of her. Now, that seems pretty harmless, but it kind of showed me a personal example of how they kind of invade our space, and we don't even know it, and you wonder, what is the end product with all of this? So, what can an average person do? You know, we're almost powerless. We don't have an army. We're not calling the shots. If the government, whether it's our government or the Chinese government or the United Nations or the Antichrist, what can we do? Or is it just going to be out and out persecution in the end times?
I think, like you're saying, it might be out and out persecution. But the bigger thing, and this is why I want people to get the book, Decoding the Antichrist in the End Times, is because I think people are going to run and want the mark of the beast. They're going to line up like people line up to get the latest iPhone. But it's going to be so deceptive. It's because of the advantage. You know, we love our iPhones. You know, we love having the GPS, but everything can be turned on its head. And people are going to think, wow, with this new technology, I mean, Google, Facebook, they give so many things away for free that people are going to line up, wow, I can have this. But it's going to be a snare. That's what's going to be the trap.
Okay, let's talk about how inevitable this is. Is your view of the end times, there's a clock ticking, and is what's going to happen going to happen? Or can it be slowed down, for example, by good government who stands up to some of these things or doesn't let things turn bad? Or even, you know, the United States since World War II has kind of, you know, tried to protect the world for democracy and has helped people, certainly more than any other country does. But even in our country, it just seems things are getting worse and worse, where politicians are even suggesting that we have to eliminate fossil fuel and can't fly anymore. And of course, that's not really political, but I mean, it would almost put us back to the dark ages. So how do we make sense of all of these things that are going on, and how will your book help us?
Sure. Great question. I can't help but think of this destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here you have Abraham and Lot. They both were believers, but Lot had totally assimilated, didn't know what was coming. But Abraham did, and he tried to intercede, and he tried to mitigate the disaster. Well, I believe nothing is absolutely inevitable. I believe this is where the believer needs to be made aware of what's coming so they can pray, so they can intercede. God is always looking for intercessors to help mitigate things. And I believe there are people in different states, and the more intercessors in each state, there might be less damage to their particular state or their particular country. Just like in the Gospels, there's goat nations and sheep nations. They're all going to be rated by how they treated Israel. And so for me, I think the most important part of this book is for believers not to despair, but to have hope, to trust in the Lord and not get caught up in what's all the madness. But it's time to focus on the Lord, draw nearer to Him, and intercede.
And there are some Christian leaders who believe that as things get worse and worse, the church is going to get better and better, or even that people will turn to Christ, you know, out of desperation of what's happening in their lives. What is your opinion about that?
I think so. I think God's going to eliminate the gray area. I think it's going to be the light is on or the light is off. And there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be saved through the chaos, but they're going to look for people that are strong and calm and have control. And so that's where the believer needs to be. Jesus says, look, I've warned you, all these things are happening so that you'll be prepared. And so I think all my book is trying to do is to warn people the times that we're in and how they need to focus to help those. I think a big revival could be coming.
You mentioned a minute ago the election in 2016 and globalism versus nationalism. There are some who believe that Donald Trump has given a reprieve to some of the trends, not necessarily the Antichrist, but just some of the negative trends in our country. And you're right, things are much more galvanized. You know, Trump has become like a lightning rod. He's also become a big defender of Christian values, even though he is not a particularly pious person himself. And we Americans tend to see things from an American point of view, although the podcast I did just recently with an Australian pastor named Steve Ciccolanti has a lot to say about America and Trump. It was just interesting that someone halfway around the world was so focused on what was happening spiritually in our country. So I'm just interested in your opinion about Donald Trump, but bigger than that, the trends that are going on, going back to what you said about nationalism versus globalism.
Sure. Well, the thing is, in the Bible, it's all about borders. And you may have seen this recent article about this one pastor came out, or no, it wasn't a pastor, it was a grocery store that says heaven has gates, heaven has walls, and hell has no borders, you know, and that just shot all around the world, went viral. But to me, God instituted borders to all the 70 nations. God is all about boundaries. He's all about borders. And I believe this globalism is about destroying borders. And it's very unbiblical. And when it comes to President Trump, and our nation's polarized, we are totally polarized. But I believe that while he has brought about many good things, I worry about his Middle East peace process. If it comes to dividing the nation of Israel, creating a capital for the Palestinians in East Jerusalem, dividing the state, then it could be disastrous.
So how should Christians pray, or how should Christians vote to try to mitigate these kinds of trends that we're talking about?
Well, the next election is in 2 years. You know, I think that we're going to have to vote. To me, our vote is going to have to be totally biblically based. That's how we need to vote. For me, it's always about the biblical issues. Now, of course, sometimes you get a mixed bag. You got people that may be pro-abortion, and at the same time, let's say pro-Israel. So what do you do? You know, so to me, I leave that up to everybody's conscience, what their hot button burner issues are. But I think that we need to do the best we can with what we have, what we know.
And so as we wrap up this podcast, I'm going to give you the last word, as Bill O'Reilly always says.
I guess my last word would be to the believers to not be like the frog in the boiling pot of water. They need to wake up. If they get the book, I hope that it really enlightens them, that they can prepare themselves for the days that we live in.
Well, that's very well said. And as your publisher, we've just been astounded at how much early interest is in this book, which doesn't literally release until March 5th. That's when it'll be available on Amazon. The book is actually out and available probably in some stores, but I just urge people to get this book. It'll be on Kindle as well. It's going to be in many, many stores. There's going to be a lot said and written about it in terms of publicity, because we believe that this is a very important book. This is not just a 10 ways to feel better about yourself kind of book. So much of Christian ministry nowadays is just feel good. And, you know, part of it is that people just are so stressed out about life and the way things are going that, you know, at least they can maybe feel better about their own little world. But there are bigger trends that none of us are going to really be able to escape, because if this happens in our nation and in the world, it affects all of us. If the government decides to monitor when you get up and when you leave and the different things you were talking about, as artificial intelligence becomes more and more invasive in our lives, it affects everyone. But our faith has to be in God, not in circumstances. And so I just thank you for speaking out. You have been a real leader. You are probably the very first one to see some of the patterns with blood moons. And your ministry is widely respected, and I just really appreciate you and hope that this book goes out far and wide and opens the eyes of many, many readers.
Well, thank you, Steve. I sure appreciate Charisma and all that they're doing to help get this book out, because I think it is a tool, a practical tool that's going to help Christians profile the Antichrist system so they will not be deceived.
Thank you for being on my podcast today.
Thank you.
I learned so much in this podcast, and I hope you did too. And I hope you want this book. It's called Decoding the Antichrist in the End Times. This book has started to take off even before it's been released. The orders on Amazon have been huge compared to other books. And there's a lot of interest and a lot of media. I was even interested myself in interviewing him on this podcast. You can get the book most easily by going to Amazon.com and ordering it. It actually won't be sent out until March 5th, but I know you're going to want to get this and help us to get the word out, because it's important that Christians understand what's happening, not just certain theories, but understand what the Bible says. Also understand what Judaism and Islam believe. You know, things that we talked about in the podcast, but you can deep dive into these topics in Mark Bilt's new book, Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times. Once again, thank you for listening to the Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.